Today on Renewing Your Mind, where do you place your trust?
God requires that we place our trust in Christ. Without that faith, the benefits of his death are not yours. But a Christian man is a man who trusts, for the just shall live by faith.
Throughout the Bible, men are called to accomplish difficult tasks. Moses had to confront Pharaoh to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Joseph endured years in prison to accomplish God's purposes. And Paul was beaten and stoned for the sake of the gospel. But one man was asked to do something that is almost unimaginable for us today, especially if you're a father. God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son. Today on Renewing Your Mind, we continue Dr. R.C. Sproul's series, Meaning for Men. Throughout this series, Dr. Sproul explains the character traits God requires of men, including integrity and leadership. Today, he addresses the trust of a man.
God made a promise to Abraham. You remember the story, how that in his old age, when Abraham's wife was well beyond the years of childbearing, how that God called to this man and took him out into the darkness of the night, and he said, Abraham, look to the stars in the sky and count them if you can. For God says, your descendants will be more than the stars of the sky, more than the sand along the seashore. And Abraham said, but God, how can this be? Since I have no son, and my heir is my servant Eliezer. It was on that occasion that God said that out of Abraham's own loins would come a child of promise, and that through this child, not only would Abraham be blessed, but that all of the nations of the world would also be blessed. Now, after the promise, Abraham had to wait. And as you know the story, he grew impatient and tried to take things into his own hands to make sure that this promise was fulfilled. And so he entered into his wife's handmaiden, and the fruit of their union brought forth a son whose name was Ishmael. But as scripture declares, Ishmael was not the son of promise. That child had to be born of Sarah. And then the scriptures say that Abraham knew his wife, and she conceived, and she brought forth a son whose name was Isaac. Now think of it, gentlemen. In Isaac was the world to be blessed. Through Isaac was to come the promise of the Messiah. Through Isaac comes the promise not only of a great nation, but of all of redemption of the world. Can you imagine the hope and the joy that Abraham invested in that young man? Then the Bible says, there came a time of testing. And it is that time of testing that I want to consider this morning. And so I'll ask you to open your Bibles to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Beginning at verse 1, we read this account. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. He who has ears to hear the word of God, let him hear it. Now, this text tells us that God put Abraham to the test. He put him to the kind of test that I hope to God I never have to endure. It's one thing when God asks us to give of ourselves, to give of our finances, to give of our time as a measure of living sacrifice to him. But on this day in human history, God did something that he had never done in the history of the world. He called Abraham and he said, okay, Abraham, here's what I want. Take now your son, and I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. Now, men, that's not exactly what God said to Abraham. Because had God come to Abraham and said, okay, Abraham, give me your son, if that's all God would have said, then Abraham would have marched directly to the tent of Ishmael. And he would have taken Ishmael and he would have offered Ishmael there upon the altar. But God was far more specific than that. He said, Abraham, take now your son, your only son. You know who I mean. The one whom you love. Isaac. Abraham can't believe his ears. No, 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 not Isaac. Oh God, you can't be serious. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of Abraham saying, wait, I have known this God. I have followed this God. I left the land of my fathers to follow after this God. I know his character. I know his integrity. He doesn't ask parents to commit murder. This can't be. We read in verse 3 these words. Typical understatement of sacred scripture. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote an entire book on this verse entitled Fear and Trembling, where Kierkegaard mused on the significance of these words, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. As Kierkegaard read this text over and over and over again and looked at it from this perspective and then from that perspective and turned the thoughts over in his mind, he said, what is Scripture telling us here? Why did Abraham rise up early in the morning? And Kierkegaard considered different possibilities for that. He said, perhaps the Scripture is trying to say here that Abraham was such a man of confidence and trust in God that when God came to him and said, all right, Abraham, your orders for tomorrow are to take your son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there for me. And Abraham responded, clicking his heels, and says, aye, aye, sir, first thing in the morning, I'll get at it. And so Abraham, not flinching, not worrying, got up with a smile on his face and said, good morning, God, and went over and set out to be obedient. That's how it happens, gentlemen, in fairy tales, but not in real life. And this book is about real life and about real men, where even the Son of God sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abraham understood the command of God. And when he put his head on his pillow that night, he thought, wait a minute. This must only be a test. He's only going to see how far I'm willing to go, but he certainly is not going to make me go all the way, because if I kill my son, that's the end of the promise. That's the end of the whole history of redemption. He can't be serious. But maybe he really wants me to do it. Maybe he wants me to kill him to see where my heart is, to see whether I've invested my identity, my future, in my son or in my heavenly father. And Abraham rose up early in the morning because it was futile to try to sleep. Look what it says that he did. I can hardly believe this, that he rose up early in the morning and by himself he went, pulled the saddle down from the wall in the stable and put the saddle on the donkey and prepared this beast of burden for the journey. Now let's stop for a second. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men of the entire ancient world. Abraham's house was filled with servants. Abraham didn't go around and put the saddle on his mule. If Abraham needed the use of a mule for the day, he would call his chauffeur, he would call the butler, he would call the rest of the servants and say, get the mule ready for the journey. And they would drop what they were doing and they would go out and they would saddle the donkey. And Abraham could give orders to the rest of his servants, and I need some firewood. And so bundle up some sticks and put those on the back of the beast so that we can go to make our offering into the wilderness. But the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning, personally went out and saddled that donkey. And then he went to the side of the barn and he grabbed an axe. And he went out and he began to chop the wood himself for the sacrificial fire. Why he did that, I can only guess that all of the pain and the frustration was going out of his arm and out of his hand and into the axe with every stroke. As he was muttering under his breath, "God, you can't mean this." As the axe would fly, and the wood was reduced to kindling, which he bound and placed upon the back of the donkey. And then we read that he took two of his young men, and he took Isaac, and he rose up, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And listen to this. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the mountain afar off. Abraham is not only expected to go and kill his son, but he's expected to escort his son on a journey that goes for more than 3 days. One of the most grim, hopeless portraits of the desperation of humanity is found in the picture that we've seen in the movies or in the newspapers of what is described as the last mile. That corridor that connects death row to the electric chair in the state penitentiary. And we remember the tradition of the man walking, not for a mile, but for the last few feet, being led to his execution while a priest or a minister reads the words of Scripture. Can you imagine the drama of those few moments? But this isn't just a connecting corridor from a cell to an electric chair. This is 3 days' journey. And then some. Abraham is walking beside his son. I can't conceive of what that was like. Your only son, the son whom thou lovest, Isaac. And as they saw Mount Moriah in the distance, Isaac turned to his father and he said, "My father." Abraham said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "Well, Dad, there's the mountain. We brought the fire. There's the wood. But Father, didn't you forget something? We've come all this way and we forgot to bring a lamb. Dad, where's the lamb that we're going to use for the offering?" What does Abraham say? "Hey, Isaac, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. God will provide a sacrifice for us." Oh, how we can look at this as if Abraham just smiled and said, "Don't worry about it. God will provide." What do you want him to say? When Isaac said, "Father, where is the lamb for the offering?" Was Abraham going to say, "Hey, relax. You're it." They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Mercifully, the Bible doesn't tell us about any conversation that took place when Abraham took the ropes and went over to Isaac and said, "Lie still." And he took his son's hands and put them together, and he bound his wrists and he bound his feet. And he didn't even want to look into the eyes of his son, as Isaac would look tearfully, questionably, in disbelief that his father would ever do anything like this. And then Abraham walked over and picked him up and laid him on the altar. And as Isaac is frozen in terror, lying on the altar of sacrifice, Abraham reaches over and he takes the knife. And he said, "All right, God, this is what you want. This is what you command." And he raised the knife. And at the last possible second, as he's ready to drive the knife into the heart of his son, God screamed from heaven, "Stop! Abraham! Abraham, lay not your hand upon your son, for now I know that you trust me." Abraham threw away the knife. And before he even untied him, he put his arms around his son. And together, they worshiped God. Gentlemen, 2,000 years later, the name of the mountain called Moriah was changed. And it was called Mount Zion. It was now inhabited by people. It had become a major city, first of the Jebusites, and then the capital city of the Israelites. The name of Moriah was called Jerusalem. And 2,000 years later, God took his son, his only son, the son whom he loved, Jesus, and he took him to the mountain, and he placed him on the altar, and he bound him for the sacrifice. And God Almighty raised the knife, and nobody hollered, "Stop!" And he took his life, that whosoever puts his trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scriptures tell us God withheld not his only begotten son, and he killed him. But men, the salvation that flows from that, the redemption that is given to us from that, does not come to us automatically. God requires faith. God requires that we place our trust in Christ. Without that trust, without that faith, the benefits of his death are not yours. But a Christian man is a man who trusts, for the just shall live by faith.
There is no one more worthy of our trust than God himself, because while he spared Isaac, God did not spare his own son. Thanks for listening to Renewing Your Mind on this Wednesday. I'm Lee Webb. We're sharing Dr. R.C. Sproul's series, Meaning for Men. He covers God's admonition for men, including integrity at work, leadership at home, and essential character traits of the Christian man. No matter how long you've professed faith in Christ, this series will be a help to you. We'd be happy to send you this 6-part series on 6 audio CDs. Simply request it with your gift of any amount. You can do that securely online at renewingyourmind.org, or you can call us and give your gift at 800-435-4343. Each lesson is about 50 minutes, providing you with more than 5 hours of teaching on this topic. Again, request Meaning for Men with your gift of any amount today. Our number is 800-435-4343, and our web address is renewingyourmind.org. Table Talk Magazine is another resource produced by Ligonier Ministries that can be helpful to you. I searched tabletalkmagazine.com and found several articles on this topic, including Christian Men in the Church. That's from our June 2009 issue. When you subscribe to Table Talk, you'll have access to these online back issues. Plus, you'll find daily Bible studies and more. You can learn more and subscribe at tabletalkmagazine.com. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Sproul continues the series with a lesson titled, The Price of a Man. He compares the test Adam faced in the garden with the test Jesus faced in the wilderness. What did these tests have in common, and what do they mean for us today? We'll find out tomorrow on Renewing Your Mind.